Habla español, parlez-vous français? With budget cuts and teacher shortages, many Iowa schools struggle to maintain foreign language courses. Only about 15% of Iowa K-12 students are studying a second language. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, the benefits of learning a second language. We'll talk about the programs that are available in the state of Iowa and the challenge of providing language learning opportunities. We'll also find out why Iowa is lagging behind. We're ranked 35th out of 50 states and the District of Columbia in the percentage of students learning a world language. We'll also talk about serving adult English language learners in the state. Join the conversation after the news.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Luther College, offering more than 60 areas of study, including the new data science and neuroscience majors, dedicated to preparing students for success in a changing world.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. While many of us may remember taking foreign language classes in junior high and high school, it's not an opportunity Iowa students can take for granted. Just over 15% of Iowa students, K through 12, are studying a world language other than English. We are ranked 35th out of 50 states and the District of Columbia in the percentage of students learning a world language. This hour, we'll talk about opportunities available to Iowa students, what we've learned about teaching languages effectively, and we'll find out why Iowa is lagging behind. Later in the hour, we'll talk about serving adult English language learners in the state of Iowa. To start us off today, Pam Wesley is here. She's Associate Professor of Foreign Language and ESL, English as a Second Language. She's also president-elect of the Iowa World Language Association. Hello, Pam.
Hi.
Thank you so much for being here.
It's great to be here.
Chad Gosta is also here, professor of Spanish and chair of the Department of World Languages and Cultures at Iowa State University. Hello, Chad.
Hello.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
And I want to start with those statistics that I just talked about. We are ranked 35th out of 50 states in the District of Columbia in the percentage of students learning a world language. Pam, what do you think is behind those numbers? What's going on in Iowa?
Well, I think that, we are struggling with prioritizing foreign language education in Iowa. I think that, 15% sounds pretty low. I think that it's good to know that the top one is about 50%. So it is something where we can definitely build that up. I think we don't have a lot of elementary level programs in the state. And that's something that definitely brings down that percentage. We don't start early enough, I think, in most districts. I think a lot of districts have one language teacher. In the more rural districts in the state, they have one Spanish teacher, maybe at the high school, maybe shares the high school and middle school. So some of that is sort of the rural nature of our state. I think we need to get out the word that learning languages is important, and I think also that it's important for people not just to get into college, but also for life and for jobs and for sort of being a global citizen.
Well, and you mentioned the importance of languages for getting into college.
Yes.
And I mean, that is a requirement for most college applications. So what are the Iowa standards for schools offering foreign languages? Are schools required in high school to offer a foreign language opportunity?
Schools are required to offer opportunities. That students are not required to take a language in schools. So they must be able to, they must have that opportunity, but they are not required to actually take it. I think some states do have a state requirement for students to take a certain number of years of foreign language, which obviously brings up those percentages. And so often 2 years is required, and those states have more robust K-12 programs. I think, we try hard to encourage it, but with no state requirement, that's going to mean that we're going to have fewer students enrolling.
Well, and Chad, maybe you also know about the opportunities that students have out there. If you're in a district that doesn't have a foreign language teacher on site, what are your options?
Well, I would like to reiterate something that Pam said, and that is that the rural makeup of the state and the prioritizing of foreign language education makes it difficult to get some of these programs out there. And the 15% from the American Council for International Education, the 15% rate of foreign language education in the state of Iowa actually refers mostly to high school programs.
Yep.
And so, you know, it's if you look before those years, there's virtually no programs outside of some of the more urban areas. Certainly, the University of Iowa, Northern Iowa, Iowa State, some of the community colleges, they do offer coursework for students who would like to take a foreign language and who can do so after school, for example. And I know that some of these schools also have after school programs, but it's certainly not enough. And it's not going to be as good as, for example, taking it at the elementary level and growing up and going through the system with more than one language. And that, you know, certainly makes them more competitive for better universities and better opportunities. And the fact is that most universities today, both in the state of Iowa and outside, require some sort of foreign language education to get into certain programs.
Mm-hmm.
At Iowa State, for example, engineering, which is one of our top programs, does require foreign language study before being admitted to their programs here.
And so students in a district where they can't afford to have a teacher on site, something like that, they could study at a community college or something mm-hmm. like that, or they could take an online course in some cases, Pam?
Yeah, there are some online options. There's Iowa Learning Online, and some districts do make use of that. It's less common. Most districts, I believe, do have at least one teacher, offering often most frequently Spanish.
Now, you brought up something very important, Chad, when you were talking about English or learning languages or having this kind of exposure earlier in life. We've learned a lot about how people acquire language and about how people learn. And one of the major takeaways is that the earlier we're exposed, the more quickly we learn. So in many ways, when we look at how we teach foreign language in our schools, we're kind of doing it backwards, aren't we?
Well, you know, you could say that. There's a lot of literature out there, a lot of research that shows that learning earlier certainly impacts one's long-term commitment to that language and even, help someone go on to learn a third or a fourth language. It also opens up a whole world of other skills, critical thinking skills, interpersonal communication skills, problem-solving skills, being more innovative and entrepreneurial, all of the things that then transfer into other areas of study. I've not heard yet of any bad reason to learn a language, particularly early on. However, again, it's just a matter of prioritizing that and understanding that it's not just for communication sake, but also to build a career, a successful career that will go well beyond the initial time, for example, after high school or after college, but into the future since these careers are changing so fast.
Well, and even with that kind of knowledge, even if with that understanding, the challenge of prioritizing something like this, we can't understate that for a school. I mean, there are programs, all kinds of programs that are being cut. I mean, Pam, in working to talk to schools about the importance of foreign language, that must feel like an uphill battle.
It does. I mean, I think that unfortunately we've seen some cuts of some really wonderful programs in the state. West Des Moines has had to cut some of its elementary programming. Other districts have also cut elementary programming. And it seems in some cases, I mean, and perhaps this is just my perspective, but sometimes it seems like the first thing to go when cuts need to be made. And we've also found that when the community is polled, often the community will say, don't cut those foreign language programs, keep those and find other ways. But, you know, when there's a fixed amount of money, you know, I guess I understand that choices have to be made. And I sympathize with that. I do think that the districts are taking away some really important opportunities for their students when they do make the choice to cut foreign language.
And tell me more about the trend that you're seeing. I mean, you mentioned a couple of districts that mm-hmm. have cut out their elementary school foreign language education. Is that where you're seeing the most cuts, or are we also seeing cuts at the junior high or the middle school level as well?
We are seeing cuts at the junior high level. Here in Iowa City, the district cut the seventh grade foreign language program, and so now students can only start in eighth grade.
And also removed a language.
So now there's only two language options. And I think I don't anticipate that districts will cut entire programs at the high school level because of some of the college requirements we've been talking about. However, I do think at the lower levels, I do think that schools feel like it's something that could go, that it's an option for cuts. And that's tough because, as Chad said, that's something that reduces students' ability to develop high levels of proficiency if they don't get to start early enough. If they start in eighth grade, they can study for 5 years, but that's still that they end up at a lower level than they would obviously if they started in kindergarten.
Well, and let's talk about language choices. You've mentioned Spanish several times. Mm-hmm. That seems to be the default. If there's just one language offered, it's going to be Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
But what kinds of shifts are we seeing in language choices in the state right now?
Well, Spanish is definitely the most common in the state. I think French and German are the other two. We call those the commonly taught languages. I think that there's a desire from districts and from parents to include languages like Chinese and Japanese, Arabic. The issue that we run into with that is sort of the pipeline of teachers. If there's no teacher who is able to be hired to teach that language, a qualified teacher, a licensed teacher, then it can't be offered. And so in what I do working with pre-service teachers, you know, I try to work on that pipeline. How do you get those students who are strong in languages to want to become teachers so they can then share that and get more variety of language, a wider variety of languages offered?
Well, and all right, Chad, you were talking about some of the many benefits of learning another language. Of course, for a lot of people, the best argument is economic. Okay, it makes me more hireable, that kind of thing. It makes my child more hireable when they get a degree and have this language along with it. What languages do you see as the most valuable right now?
Well, you know, in my opinion, any second language is valuable, of course, because of some of the skills that one earns from studying that language. But, you know, you don't have to take my word for it. No matter what I say, somebody's going to come up with a different language that might be better. But, you know, Forbes has actually published on this. The Economist has published on this. And they've shown that several languages actually help one earn more over the course of their lifetime, as well as, you know, be sought out for promotions or other opportunities in the workplace before those who have never had any language study. The Economist article showed that just taking German and learning German and using that in your employment after college, for example, would earn one, you know, more than, I think it's over $125,000 during their lifetime. In other words, you know, that's a significant bump economically. And so often we talk about the great skills that one learns from or acquires from learning another language, and I mentioned those, the problem solving and ability to communicate with others and excellent written and oral proficiencies and these great things. But also it's economic. It makes them wealthier and happier, more able to take advantage of opportunities in the workplace, maybe be a little more entrepreneurial. Some controlled risk taking often occurs as well. And they become better employees and long-term more happier in their career as well as in their home life.
What languages do you see students at Iowa State University seeking out?
Well, we're seeing large numbers across the board. We currently offer about, 11 different languages. And some of those are both online or in a flipped format as well as face-to-face, the traditional face-to-face. So students who don't have the opportunity to take a language study in their own high school, for example, could join some of these courses if they're interested. But, you know, Spanish continues to be the dominant language. Of course, my colleagues and I would joke and say that that's actually not a second language. That's a primary language here in the United States. And so, you know, students may want to look to some others. And we have a large number of students taking, Chinese and German and French and Russian. And we even, you know, are offering Swahili and Italian, and American Sign Language is seeing huge enrollments nationally, as is Arabic. So we're seeing, improved enrollments across the board, at least at Iowa State. And I would imagine that University of Iowa and Northern Iowa is seeing the same effects.
Well, and we'll continue this conversation in just a moment. We're talking about teaching foreign languages in the state of Iowa. Iowa's lagging behind many other states. We're ranked 35th out of 51 in the percentage of students learning a world language right now. We'll be back in just a moment. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Luther College, offering more than 60 areas of study, including the new data science and neuroscience majors, dedicated to preparing students for success in a changing world.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about the learning of world languages in the state of Iowa. Just over 15% of Iowa students K through 12 are studying a world language. That means Iowa's lagging behind many other states around the country. We're ranked 35th, in fact. So this hour, we're talking about opportunities available to Iowa students, what the benefits are of having this kind of education, the challenges of providing this kind of education, and And with me right now, Pam Wesley. She is Associate Professor of Foreign Language and ESL. She's President-elect of Iowa World Language Association. Chad Gasta is here, Professor of Spanish and Chair of the Department of World Languages and Cultures at Iowa State University. And we're going to have some more, well, not quite nobility, but presidential material here as well. Jason Noble is joining us. He's a Spanish teacher at Pella Christian High School and President of the Iowa World Language Association. So we have the President and the President-elect with us today. Hi, Jason.
Hi, Charity. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you so much for being here. And we've talked a lot about what is available in the state of Iowa right now, some of the challenges that Iowa schools are facing and Iowa students are facing as well. Jason, as somebody who grew up in Iowa, tell me a little bit about your background with languages.
Well, yeah, as you said, I grew up, I am a product of Iowa education. I attended K through 12 at a small school, Jewell, South Hamilton, and I wanted to take French when I was a high school freshman and looking at studying a language, but my school didn't offer French, which is kind of the case in a lot of small schools here in Iowa, and so I kind of had this bad attitude that, fine, I'll take stupid Spanish for 2 years because I want to go to college. And I ended up really enjoying Spanish, and I really saw the value of it. In my community where I grew up, there were a lot of native speakers in the community where I lived and also beside me. And I just loved that I was able to take what I learned in class and then I could go out, and if I saw them, I could try it out on them. And they were always so encouraging about anything I could say. It just pushed me to do more. And, growing up in a small community in Iowa, it really opened a lot of doors for me to travel. It opened a lot of job opportunities for me. I've had jobs before I was a teacher where I didn't necessarily know a whole lot about that area of that profession, but I was bilingual, so they were willing to give me a chance to learn on the fly just because I was bilingual.
In your career as a Spanish teacher, you've worked in some pretty small communities in Iowa. You taught for 3 years in Ogden, Iowa, and you've been at Pella Christian now for 7 years. Has that been a choice of yours to try to remain in a smaller district to give students from those districts the kind of opportunity you had?
I think some of it. I see both of those schools remind me a lot of the school that I grew up in. And, I really do feel like there is just the nature of the way it's set up. There's some inequality as far as opportunities with world languages. I know that there's districts in some regions of the state that are just really struggling to find a teacher at all, and for any type of world language. And so it just makes me sad that every school doesn't have the opportunity, like some of the bigger metro schools, to have multiple languages that they could learn. And so I'd really like to see Iowa grow in that area.
Let's talk a little bit about another trend that we might be seeing in Iowa. Again, I mentioned, Jason, that you're at Pella Christian. Are we seeing private schools in Iowa trying to offer more language opportunities as a way to attract students to become kind of a magnet?
I think in the elementary level, definitely, that's a trend. I know in Des Moines, St. Anthony's has a Spanish immersion program, and then here at Pella Christian Grade School, we have a Spanish immersion program, and I have two sons in that program. And it's been, I can speak for here, that it's been a great boon for enrollment of students, and it's kind of reinvigorated the grade school. And so I think that's one area where private schools kind of have a niche that's not being filled, and they kind of have some of the flexibility to implement those programs. And so my hope is that that more schools, not just private but public as well, would implement that. It's amazing, my third grader, who's been in the Spanish immersion program since preschool, his Spanish is amazing, and he's only a third grader.
Well, and Pam, is that a trend that you're seeing as well, this growing gulf between what private schools can offer as far as foreign languages and what public schools are offering in Iowa?
You know, I think so. I think that there's definitely a trend in a lot of private schools, independent schools, to have languages at the elementary level, as Jason said. I think that it's something that they're able to do public schools don't have the funding for necessarily right now, and that's something that does attract students. I think that it is the idea of, you know, we do see some two-way immersion programs in the state at the public, in the public schools, in West Liberty, Marshalltown, and Sioux City, and I think that those are schools that, those are districts that have students who are both Spanish dominant students and then English dominant students, and they learn together. And those different programs are really great to be able to offer in public schools. So there are some immersion schools that are what we call dual immersion. But otherwise that's really not very common in public schools.
And for people who aren't aware, Chad, I know that immersion programs are something you feel very strongly about. Describe an immersion program for me and how that would be different from the kind of foreign language learning that many of us would be familiar with from our childhood.
Well, based on the models that I'm familiar with, often these are dual language options, usually Spanish, English, in which one day is in Spanish, one day is in English, or half the day in Spanish, half the day in English. And you go through the regular lessons that a teacher would do in the classroom during those days, but in whatever the language, the operative language is. So math in Spanish or science or social science or what have you. And, you know, I can tell you from personal experience that it works out just fine. I speak, my wife and I speak only Spanish at home. Our two daughters are bilingual. My wife is a faculty member at Iowa State and is obviously a native speaker of the language. We have the advantage. I do homework with my girls in their math homework or their science homework in Spanish just as much as I do it in English, and they learn just fine. It does work. And so to some degree, it's not always a question of prioritizing resources. I mean, sometimes we can, you know, introduce language options in the regular course of a school day without actually having to choose between the language itself or some other subject.
Pam, do you want to add anything to that?
No, I think that's a really good point that, you know, being able to start immersion programs, they're learning their content in the language. And that's been shown to be one of the most effective ways of learning language at the elementary level, developing high levels of proficiency at a young age. And it really is amazing what these students can do. It really is. I mean, it's something that it would be wonderful to see more schools have that in Iowa. I think that there are some states, some neighboring states. Minnesota has a really great network of immersion schools of all different languages, not just Spanish, French, German, Chinese, and they do and other languages as well. And it really brings up some, you know, offers some wonderful opportunities for these students.
I can imagine there's also an added benefit. I mean, the communities that you talked about, West Liberty, Marshalltown, Sioux City, these are communities with large Hispanic populations mm-hmm. already. And so many of these students are speaking Spanish at home, mm-hmm. and it's going to be a language for them that is spoken, but not necessarily a language that is written. Mm-hmm. So this gives them an opportunity to also read and write in the language they speak at home. So I can imagine that's an incredible benefit to the native Spanish speakers.
Yes, I mean, developing bilingualism in students and bilingualism and biliteracy in all students is something that is that benefits both the native Spanish speakers and the native English speakers. And there's over 50,000 Spanish-speaking students in K-12 schools in Iowa, and that's been a 231.7% increase. I mean, that's amazing. There are more and more native Spanish speakers in schools in Iowa, and that's something that's a population that we need to be serving too.
Well, and also, I mean, to return to what you were talking about earlier, Jason, that also gives students who are not native Spanish speakers the opportunity to speak the language with their fellow students who are native Spanish speakers, which is an incredibly valuable part of this instruction as well, right?
Yes, very much so. And And I just got some I saw on the news that that in Waterloo, they've started a French immersion for refugees from Africa. There's a high population of French-speaking immigrants from Africa in Waterloo, and they just started a French immersion program, and I was excited to see that.
Now, we've talked a lot about why Iowa may be lagging behind in foreign language instruction. Let's talk about what the three of you would advocate for the future. And Jason, again, as the president of the Iowa World Language Association, I know that this has been a big focus for you, working on some standards that maybe the state of Iowa could implement. Tell me more about that work.
Yeah, so my colleagues and I, with the help of some people at the Department of Education developed some world language standards or competencies that are specific to world languages, and they basically are divided up by five different levels, which is the most common. We have Spanish or French or German 1 and 2, 3, 4, and sometimes AP. So we chose to focus on those first, and through these, we using the models of our national organization, ACTFL, American Council on the Teaching of Foreign Languages, set up basically a standard what a level one student of a language like French or Spanish or German. We weren't able to delve into some of the other ones with different alphabets, but what they should be able to do at that level, and kind of what their classification would be, and we did it for multiple reasons, but one of them is advocacy at the state and national level in order to help bring the seal of biliteracy to Iowa, which is now in over half the states. It's basically a seal that goes on the student's diploma at their graduation that shows that they are proficient in English and one other language. And some states have an even more articulated program where a seal of biliteracy in high school translates to you start at the 300 level in college, and that would be a goal down the road. But our first step is just trying to bring it to Iowa. It elevates the status of learning a language. It shows it as something to be desired, and we just want to get that message out through IWLA that the big problems that are facing our world today are going to be solved by people who work together in a multicultural type setting.
So that seal of biliteracy would also be something that would be available to English language learners who are proficient in their native language as well?
That's correct, yeah. As we move forward with this, that's something that IWLA really wants to push for, that this also including the English language learners of our state, because sometimes they get the impression that their home language isn't valued, and we don't believe that at IWLA. We want to encourage them to maintain their home language and increase their English proficiency.
Now, Pam, I know you and Jason worked together in developing these competencies and making recommendations. Is there anything you want to add to what he was saying?
No, I think that we want to advocate for, we want to use them to advocate for things like the seal of biliteracy. I think we want to use them to help connect language teachers across the state. I think one thing that at the K-12 level that we are always working for in IWLA is helping teachers connect with one another, because if you're the only Spanish teacher in an entire district, which happens in Iowa, you don't have any close colleagues right there. So how do we connect everyone together? So through these competencies, we're trying to help people see sort of where we believe, where not we, but where the language teaching community believes that students should be at the end of each level. And then also, how can you collaborate, perhaps, if you do teach the same level? And we're also working on several other initiatives that involve providing online webinars for students, for teachers who are also students in those webinars, then, to help them sort of connect with other teachers across the state and to build a stronger community of language educators across the state, because that also is important for retaining teachers and helping teachers get that professional development that they need, even even if they're in a community where they're the only language teacher, helping them sort of develop their skills and hone their abilities.
Before we get to the break, I want to go to the phones, and you are welcome to join our conversation. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Peter's on the line in Cedar Rapids. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Charity.
Hi. What would you like to talk about?
Well, I recently transferred from Kirkwood over to University of Iowa, and I'm dismayed to learn that they do not offer modern Greek. And I can't understand that, seeing how the entire fraternity and sorority system is based on the Greek alphabet. And they only offer biblical Greek. They offer Latin, of course, a dead language. And they offer all these eccentric languages like Swahili and Arabic and things that you touched on. But why against the modern Greek? I don't get it, since our language is so based and steeped in the Greek language.
Well, that's an interesting question, Peter. And Pam, I know you don't represent the foreign language department at the University of Iowa. Maybe I'll turn to Chad here at Iowa State. I mean, you offer a lot of different languages, but you can't offer every language, right?
No, we can't. Sometimes it is a question of resources and where we can put our our resources to work the best. And modern Greek is one of those areas where there's not a lot of interest on the part of students. And if you don't have a certain number of students in order to take a class, of course, then the resources, are not used probably to their maximum. And so sometimes it's a question of, do we offer this or do we offer that? Or do we wait and try to offer it next year or every other year? Or is there an online option or a hybrid option? And so, at least at Iowa State, we tend to explore the different ways that we might do that and give as many opportunities to as many students as possible. But admittedly, we can't do it all. And although we are expanding, and I'm happy to say that language study is expanding and not slowing.
All right. Well, we're going to take another break. We'll be back in just a few minutes. We're talking about foreign language learning in Iowa. With me, Chad Gasta. He is professor of Spanish and chair of the Department of World Languages and Cultures at Iowa State University. Pam Wesley is here, associate professor of foreign language and ESL at the University of Iowa, president-elect of the Iowa World Language Association, and Jason Noble, Spanish teacher at Pella Christian High School and president of the Iowa World Language Association. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour we're talking about foreign language learning in Iowa, why Iowa in the education system seems to be lagging behind other states in foreign languages offered in K-12 schools. With me, Pam Wesley, associate professor of foreign language and ESL at the University of Iowa, president-elect of the Iowa World Language Association, Jason Noble, Spanish teacher at Pella Christian High School, and present president of the Iowa World Language Association. Chad Gasta is here, professor of Spanish and chair of the Department of World Languages and Cultures at Iowa State University. We're going to broaden the conversation in just a few minutes, and you're welcome to call 866-780-9100 is the number. But I want to return to a question that Peter asked just before the break about a language that's not available that he would like to take. If you want to learn a language, or if you want your children to learn a language, but you don't have those programs available in your community. I mean, we're living in a world where there's a lot of technology available, a lot of connections can be made online. How can you effectively learn a language if you don't have access to a classroom? Pam, do you want to respond to that?
Yeah, I think that having a classroom, having instructed language with a qualified instructor, is the gold standard for learning languages at any age. What we say at the elementary level, what ACTFL has said, the National Organization of Language Teaching, says that you need to have a dedicated class more than twice a week at 90 minutes. That's considered to be the minimum to develop proficiency. Now, students can supplement that by getting authentic readings and videos that provide what we call comprehensible input, watching movies and TV shows that are age appropriate. You can do online language learning with websites like Duolingo, which is a free sort of online language quizzing website. It is very difficult, though, to develop high levels of proficiency and to develop what we call communicative competence. You can learn vocabulary. You can learn grammar points. A lot of work has been there's been some research on some commercial language learning programs, and that are sort of self-study. And they've found that even when, first of all, people don't tend to follow them through all the way. That's been one thing. There was a study where people actually were told by their jobs to take these commercial language learning programs to complete them, and out of 150 people, only one person finished it. But the other component of it is that it teaches vocabulary and it teaches grammar, but it doesn't teach that communicative competence. It doesn't teach that speaking with somebody else. And so, you know, I think if you can find someone who does speak the language, if you're not able to get in a classroom, and you can find someone who is who can't speak that language and maybe does know a little bit about language learning, you know, talking with them and meeting with them can be an option if there really is no other option. But again, you know, that getting that communication with another person that's not sort of self-study, that's really crucial to really developing those high levels of proficiency, to developing that ability to communicate.
So would you recommend that an adult who would like to learn a foreign language look at community colleges or try to find a classroom that they could be a part of?
Definitely. Looking at community colleges, looking at classes, there are sometimes when you're around any kind of college campus, there might be a conversation hour or something like that. I have been working on learning Spanish, and I have a tutor, and she and I meet for once a week for an hour and talk. And because I already speak French, it's a little bit easier for me to sort of stumble along in Spanish. And that has helped me a lot. So there's those types of options. Definitely. That's really, again, sort of instructed language with a qualified instructor who knows how to teach communication. That's really the gold standard.
You've also been an advocate for after-school language mm-hmm. classes in your children are in the Iowa City Community School District. So mm-hmm. trying to offer after-school language classes in the public schools. Have your kids been a part of that?
Yes.
Yeah. How's it going?
Well, you know, it's taking a language for 1 hour after a full day of school is, you know, not always a totally smooth process, but that's why, you know, that's why we advocate for getting it as a part of the school curriculum.
Sure.
That would be better. But however, getting these after school programs, which occur in almost half of the, I believe more than half of the elementary schools in Iowa City that are run by the PTAs, that is something that really does help students. And one thing that's important about the elementary level is if you can't get that 90 minutes at least three times a week, getting students just interested, getting their interest piqued about learning other languages, learning about other cultures, maybe learning some vocabulary, learning, you know, maybe having a native speaker be their instructor, that is something that stays with them, that positive early experience stays with them, so that when they do have the chance for more formal instruction, they will persist and they will see it as something that they're good at and that they want to continue doing.
Let's get back to the phones. I want to talk to Beth. Hi, Beth.
Hi.
And I know you've had a frustrating experience as someone who is proficient in foreign language. Tell me about your experience.
Yes, well, I have quite a very, very international background. I was a foreign exchange student in high school. I studied German at University of Iowa. I married someone from Kuwait, and I lived there in Kuwait full-time for 11 years, and I engaged in business there. And after I returned back to the United States, I thought with my experience and my language skills, I would be hired very easily. But I found that not to be true. A lot of employers, and even those who sell internationally, they were not interested in my background, in my language skills. And after a while, I just gave up and I started my own business.
Well, it sounds like you really hit a brick wall there, Beth. In your experience, from your perspective, Chad, I know you work with a lot of students who are going to be going out into the workplace. What are you seeing on that front?
Yeah, that's not exactly the feedback we're getting more recently. Companies are telling us, recruiters are telling us that students who have a significant language background are doing quite well. They're often the first to be hired, and I mentioned earlier, probably promoted through the ranks a little bit faster. There is, of course, the barrier of getting into a company and getting used to the workplace and learning that company's policies and procedures before one is actually sent abroad on any sort of assignment or located there for any significant amount of time. So it could be a factor that things have changed more recently, particularly as the agricultural industry and the engineering industries here in Iowa become more and more global, that this particular skill set becomes more and more important to them. I obviously can't speak to Beth's particular situation, but our feedback, again, is telling us that that's not necessarily the case today.
Okay. So, Beth, I'm sorry you met with so much frustration, but your statistics are showing you that it is an advantage for students to have in the state of Iowa and elsewhere.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, getting back to what you were asking about earlier as far as other ways to engage with the language, one other thing we ought to mention is, at least at the college level, we have incredible study abroad programs for students who have never had any language before or those who have had advanced proficiency. And many times that is a decisive factor for students to not only become highly proficient in a second language or bicultural, that is, you know, knowledgeable of the workings of another culture, but better positioned for a career abroad. And so for those students out there looking for options for language study and they can't find those in their local high school, or students at the college level, you know, many of the universities and community colleges offer incredible study abroad programs.
Let's go to Mark Bates, who's on the line. He's a faculty member at Simpson College. Hi, Mark.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. And you want to add something to the conversation here. What do you want
Absolutely.
To talk about?
Well, I just want to add something that was just talked about, because the business environment is changing. And I'm looking right now at an article that was just published 2.5 weeks ago in the Harvard Business Review called How to Successfully Work Across Countries, Languages, and Cultures. And these kinds of intercultural skills are becoming more and more important. Language proficiency, of course, is tied to that. But I wanted to know, and I know both Pam and Jason, and I haven't met you yet, Chad, but I wanted you to talk about intercultural communication skills that you're working on. And then also here at Simpson, we are using a different approach where we have culture at the core of everything that we do. So I'll get off the phone and listen to your response.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your call, Mark. So intercultural communication skills. Jason?
Yeah. What Mark and his colleagues at Simpson College are doing is amazing. As far as intercultural skills, I would say, you know, they're really one of the pioneers in that. And they've presented at our conference, and I've been to their session. And as far as intercultural skills, I think that Mark brings up such a good point. It's so important that people be able to work with people from other cultures, and you don't necessarily have to speak their language, but I think that studying a world language, it gives you empathy for people who have trouble with English, because you can relate, you've struggled with whatever language you studied, even if it's not the same one that they speak. And as far as allowing you to kind of look outside the fishbowl, you know, I think sometimes we're just so immersed in U.S. culture that we just think that's normal. And in my class, in Spanish area particular, things come up and we get a chance to step outside of that fishbowl and look and say, well, why do they do that is the first question that comes up of, you know, why do they do that there? That seems weird. But then we get a chance to step back and look at, well, why do we do what we do? Something I can think of in my content area of Spanish is when we talk about the Day of the Dead, or we talk about holidays like Three Kings Day, the Day of the Three Wise Men, and you know, we are able to compare how they're similar to our celebrations here, but then also how they're different, and also how the perspective of that culture makes it different. And you know, when you go to other cultures, I've talked with German teachers who talk about, you know, there's no cup holders in German cars because they believe in Fahrvergnügen, the joy of driving, and why would you want to drink get in the way? And we also talk about how in Spanish-speaking countries you just don't see people walking down the street eating food, because food's a meal to be shared. And so getting them to examine, you know, those things, that, and especially if they can do a study abroad, like Chad was talking about, and actually get to see that and experience that, that I think is huge, whether you're going to work internationally or increasingly if you're going to work here in Iowa. You're probably going to have people in your workplace from other countries, other cultures that you need to work well with.
Well, and on that subject, I want to bring Katie Menick into the conversation. She's an associate professor of English as a second language at Des Moines Area Community College. Hello, Katie.
Hi, Charity. Thank you for having me this morning.
Thank you so much for being here. And Katie, there are many, many people living in Iowa now who have come here from other countries who may not have been proficient in English when they arrived in the state. Are you seeing a lot more demand for adult English language learners?
Yes, we are. Here at the DMAC campus, we have six locations throughout central Iowa, and I teach at the urban campus, so in downtown Des Moines, and we are exploding in the way that we just do not have room for our ELL students. We have two programs. The largest is our non-credit ESL program, and that program serves about 1,000 students district-wide, and so we just simply don't have the space to accommodate more students, and we do have a waiting list for that program. So we would love to have more space to help serve the growing need of new Iowans.
Yeah, are you finding that there are other institutions, other organizations also trying to step up to meet this need?
Yes, we have been able to partner with United Way, who they have been able to then work collectively with the community, the Des Moines community, to ensure that all K through 12 schools who might offer ESL programs for the parents, as well as places of worship here in the Des Moines area. That way, when we have an overflow, we can then send our students to those locations.
Is this, I know that we have a growing population of non-native English speakers, but also, this sounds like a problem that maybe we didn't think very much about in the past.
Yes, and what's so great, though, is when we look at the Des Moines public schools, the ELL population in 2000 was at 8%. And today, in 2017, we're now at 20%. And so what this means for us in community college or in our state colleges or private is that this is the largest growing number of minority students in our public schools who then will feed into our higher ed academia institutions. And so this is great for us because we know that eventually our students will, you know, stay in the community or maybe move on to other states to work and to live. But we do have a captive audience that we do need to serve and continue to help support.
With English language learners, of course, your students are in kind of an immersion program.
Yes, they are.
Of course, most of the people around them, at least the people that they encounter outside of their homes, are going to be speaking English on a daily basis. In addition to the language that we were talking about, cultural competency, is that part of what you teach English language learners who come to you as adults as well, to try to help them understand the culture?
Yes, one of the threads that I'm hearing from my cohorts this morning is that language and culture go hand in hand, and so it's hard to teach one without the other. And so on our campus and in our college in particular, we offer a lot of engagements and opportunities for students to get involved, whether they are credit-bearing students or non-credit. And part of that is just a stepping stone and a gateway for our students to feel that they are part of a community. One of the things that we have to remember is that a number of our new Iowans, at some point, they tended to have been marginalized, and they might have had a disruptive education. And so we're trying to rebuild that trust and build a sense of ownership with their learning and their education. And so the more opportunities that we can give them, the better that they then will in turn, you know, learn the language and hopefully adopt some of the cultural practices and in turn maybe meet some other Iowans that might help them along the way.
Well, and Pam was talking earlier about whenever you're learning another language, having the opportunity to speak that language, maybe a chat group, that kind of thing. Are you seeing volunteers step forward to just speak with your students?
Yes, and that's another great, I guess, opportunity that we have here in Des Moines and Iowa, is just the number of community resources that are partnering with the community colleges, as well as it sounds as if with Simpson and Iowa and Iowa State, is that oftentimes we do rely on our community to help support us and our mission, our growth. And so if for listeners who are wanting to get involved, if you live close to a library or you're an active member of your library, that would be a great place to start, or even your places of worship.
Well, Katie Menick, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you, Charity.
Katie Menick, Associate Professor of English as a Second Language at Des Moines Area Community College. Pam Wesley, thank you.
Thank you. It's been wonderful.
Pam Wesley, Associate Professor of Foreign Language and ESL at the University of Iowa. Chad Gasta, thank you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Professor of Spanish and Chair of the Department of World Languages and Cultures at Iowa State University. And Jason Noble, thank you for your time.
Thank you so much, Charity.
Jason Noble, Spanish teacher at Pella Christian High School and president of the Iowa World Language Association. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbie.